Okay, we're recording. We have Carolyn Lane Sorensen and Wilhelmina Brown Lane.
Okay, I'm going to leave that there.
All right, you got my name now, darling. Let me ask a question.
Yes.
What this is all about.
Yes, this is a project called Voices from Our America. The project is called Voices from Our America. It's the title of that little bulletin you were looking at.
Oh.
And pretty much we were thanking you for letting us come into your home and simply converse with you about your life story. The project objective is literally that, to just learn about your story, your life story, your experiences growing up, anything you remember, and sharing that with us. And what we do is we share that with the rest of the community. No, that's our goal, to collect history, to preserve history, and to help disseminate it. And those are the three main things we do. So this is the collection part.
Okay.
So I'm just going to go through, we realize that you have already signed a consent form, which was this part, this beginning part. However, if after the interview there's anything you want to change, you have that right completely. All you have to do is tell us, and we can omit. Or we can do whatever you'd like us to do. No, this is your information, and you're giving us permission to use it, but you can also change that if you ever feel that way. Or if you want to add more materials, that you can also do that. No? And as I mentioned before, we're going to be using all of this for educational purposes. Ideally, we want to create small audio-video exhibits, for example, what you would see at a museum. We have the Wesleyan Museum here in Panama. And there are other, you know, areas as well where we hope the materials we're creating will be used, will be utilized. So it's a really great contribution you're doing for us here today. Now, the first question, which I'll ask for both of you, and you can start, is simply to tell me about your place of birth. Where were you born? And what was going on there as you were growing up as a child?
Well, I was born in Panama.
Where in Panama?
I'm an Empire. And I went to school there. That's next month. I'm so happy. I did. Have this coming.
I'm lost
out there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. So,
do you remember any childhood friends, people you grew up with, friends that you played with? What was it like growing up? What kind of things did you do just as a child?
Really, I like to sit down and think back because I had friends I grew up with. I have to think now, yeah. Who are the friends? Because everybody's not there.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of us. And we were all youth together growing up. You understand? So I have to get some time to.
Okay. Well, how about the friends you visited while you've been here in this visit? Who are those friends? Are those people you knew from your childhood?
No, when I came to America, I left all my childhood in Panama.
Uh-huh. So then, those friends in Panama, have you seen any of them recently?
Not recently. Yes, we have.
Who? We saw Mr. Campbell, we saw Mr. Marshall, Mr.
Kane. Oh, I think those are gone. Oh, that's what you want.
There's another. Yeah, then you went to Mrs. Carroll's 97th birthday in February. You went to Mrs. Marshall's 92nd birthday in February.
Well, I don't remember, but if you remember, that's good.
There's still a few more friends that are still here. They're in their 90s, and you just visited a cousin, Eugene Lane. She's a big 90. Right. And y'all were talking about your day. Where is she? In fact, in the building.
I don't remember, darling.
That's okay. That's fine. Well, how about this? Do you remember talking about your parents? What do you remember about your parents and your grandparents? how they got to Fatima, how they actually became to Fatima.
Oh, there are giant companions. When I grew up, they were already there. Mm-hmm. Because my parents, as I was born from my parents in Fatima.
Uh-huh. And your parents were born in Jamaica?
Jamaica.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As far as I know, darling.
Yes.
I can't go no further. I don't know what this means.
Okay.
When I went to school here, I went to school at least one time in Empire Inn. Yeah, Empire. That's before Empire closed out.
Well, there's no. When they closed out, where did you go?
Brand to get back and start working all over again.
It's doing very good. You did a lot.
Yeah.
You did plenty.
What's the next question?
Well, you were talking about Red Tank a little bit. Do you remember anything more about Red Tank?
I was just born at Red Tank. I can't remember nothing.
That's okay. That's all right. We'll take whatever you remember, even if it's just a little bit. The next question I want to ask you will be about school. So do you remember a little bit about going to school? And for that one, I'd like to turn on the video camera, okay? Is that all right?
Wait a while. What's going on here?
Yeah, we have the little camera here to take your picture with your daughter as you're asking me answering some of the questions while we're also getting the voice recording.
Well, would it be okay for
yes,
to
we'll
turn
read.
On the camera?
What is
it? Would it be okay for you to turn on the camera?
You want to turn on the camera?
Yes, we need your permission.
If you can. Understand what I say.
Yes, okay. No problem, no problem. Thank
very
you.
Very good.
Let's go.
Oh, my goodness. Now, what's that about?
Okay. Now.
Helping the children of tomorrow to understand what you and others have done to get us where we're at today.
Exactly.
I have to ask because I don't know what's going on from there.
Yeah.
Whether I'm going to have a photograph from here to go to the police station.
Oh, no. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. No way.
For education.
Purposes.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what's going on, so
I opened it, but it's not taping yet.
That's just joke.
I don't know.
Even at 91.
Yeah, we're good. They are good.
That's great.
That's awesome. Okay, now it is on. My question would simply be, what was school like? What do you remember about school, going to school?
I know I went to school, all right. And I had to go to school. My parents made me go to school whether I wanted or not, but I was happy to go to school. I love school. Yeah.
Any favorite teacher?
Well, I guess most of them that I got. I don't even remember it. Yeah, they're not good. That might be in somewhere.
Well, it won't be dead soon,
because I'm here.
Do you remember any of the teachers?
Who was my teacher? I remember.
Okay.
Who was my teacher?
Well, let's do this up here. Let me try another question, okay? And this is going to be about music. So,
music?
Mm-hmm. What kind of music did you listen to while you were growing up? What kind of music did you like? You remember liking and enjoying?
I love to sing.
You
love it.
Yeah. What do you like to sing?
Really? I am 100 years old. And I don't remember.
You haven't gotten to 100 yet. Uh-huh. But you used to sing a lot of songs from church. I remember that.
So, well, I used to be in church, and I had to sing. Yeah. All right.
But for dancing, when you were a young girl and you were courting, what did you like to hear? Was it salsa, reggae?
I could not say no dancing, none of whatever when I was young because my parents had me callao.
What does callao mean?
Straight. Yeah, that's just straight.
So you could dance? You could go dancing.
No, I don't have any dance sometimes, but you have to know how to dance. And your mother is sitting down there watching you over here dancing, you better dance right.
That's for real.
That's good.
Yeah, see, Bessie, you do remember that.
You better dance.
Because, I mean, all young people know their parents. Line off there, line off there. This is that dance too close.
Yeah. Very true. Very, very true.
Oh, dear.
Now, let's try another. Wow. This one has to do with food. I'm turning on the camera again for the food question. What kind of foods would you like to eat? Food in general, like what kind of food did you grow up eating, you know, like your food?
Rice, peas, meat, and a drink after with that.
What drink? You remember what drink?
Lemonade or lemonade on a biscuit or lemonade.
Sour.
One that I couldn't remember. That's
Oh, you had more, a lot of bush tea.
Yeah.
Remember bush tea?
Oh. Yeah, bush. We had to have bush.
Mm-hmm. What type of, do you remember the name of the tea, the bush that you had?
You'll catch me out, but I don't even remember.
You remember, you used to have what they call fever grass tea?
Yeah, fever grass. You don't know fever grass.
No, I don't.
I was trying to think of another one. Mint tea, we use that today.
Mint.
One tea I know is lemongrass. Did you also do
lemongrass? Lemongrass and orange peel tea. I remember you gave us that too. They would take an orange peel and hang it up and it would dry, and they would put it in the hot water boil.
That's why we have the two of you, right? Okay, are we ready? Here? All right. The next question. What can you tell me about favorite sayings? Are there any sayings, things that maybe your mother used to say to you, or things you used to say to your kids or your grandkids, sayings like, you know, set them right?
I forget.
But different
sayings. That was a long time ago.
Actually, try to think of something that maybe you would have told us.
Or even something you say today. Anything you say today?
what I'm saying today.
Mm-hmm. Lesson of life.
One thing you always say, what's the use of complaining? Why complain?
Well, I don't know, complain.
But you're always telling everybody, what's the use of complaining? Why did you say, why complain? What was the other thing behind it, what you said? Nobody's going to listen to you anyway. That's what he used to say all the time. What's the use complaining? Because they're not going to listen to you anyway.
I know that was one of the things I would say. Because that's the good truth, too. Don't complain. Nobody listens to complain. Pick up your whatever and keep on going. She get super
good. Now, you told me you have not. Do you know Louise Bennett? I guess neither of you have heard of Miss Louise Bennett. Miss Lou, we used to call her.
Yes.
No.
Louise Bennett.
No,
probably not. Why? Louise Bennett, lady that said poetry from Jamaica. Have you ever heard of her?
Miss Diamond. I don't know where from. Your story is so long, I can't even remember.
Let's try someone else, though. The Mighty Sparrow. And for this one, I'll turn this back on. I'm sorry. Yeah. Do you know about the Mighty Sparrow, Calypsonian?
The Mighty Sparrow.
The sparrow, remember they used to sing Calypso?
I do not remember.
How about you,
the
Carol?
The sparrow, yes, I heard of the sparrow, but I recently recollected the sparrow because I did not know too much about the sparrow. When the sparrow came into being, I think I was more or less, I think they said he came in the 50s, and that's when I left Panama, so I did not really know too much about the sparrow, but I heard his songs when I was a little girl, and when I came back here, I had the pleasure of going to see him, but I did not meet him, but I listened to his songs. And I have the tape.
Yeah.
I have the tape. I was presented with the tape just to listen to songs and stuff like that. Now, some of them I could not understand because of the twang, I think. The twang of the way that they say things. So it was translated to me. You know, they would say, oh, this is what he said. And I said, oh, but it's like an after effect. But everybody was laughing at the time he sang it, and I'm not getting it. And that was kind of like, oh, okay, what did he say? But I love his music. It was very nice, very, what would you say, into reality. And it's like telling a story. So you have to kind of follow the story. And once you get to the end of the story, it's like, wow, that was nice. It was very nice.
Thank you. What is your view, this is for either of you, of reggaeton music? Reggaeton, this new...
I don't know reggaeton, but I like reggae.
Okay.
I don't know what is reggaeton.
Okay, reggaeton is referred to the Spanish reggae, the version that you hear nowadays a lot on the radio that a lot of the youth are listening to.
So that's the reggae with the Spanish influence. Reggaeton, okay. I don't think I've heard that one, but the reggae I really enjoyed. I love the movement, but the reggae, it's kind of like, it gets into your soul, as they say. And the reggae, sort of, to me, I like the blues, and because that's what I heard back in the U.S. in my days. With the blues, and it kind of combines to me reggae and blues, that rhythm, and that's what I do like about it.
Okay. How do you classify yourself in terms of identity, cultural or racial identity? How do you identify?
I identified myself a few months to that door and said, who lives here? I said, I live. I am Mrs. So-and-so here. I don't even know who I am.
But do you identify yourself as Panamanian or a Jamaican Panamanian?
Oh, Panamanian.
Because yeah. She really doesn't know anything about Jamaica.
Oh, yeah. I was born in Panama, darling. I grew up in Panama. So, and I moved to the United States.
And how about you, Caroline?
Oh, with myself? I classify myself as a Pan-American because I was born and raised in Panama, but over half of my life was spent in the U.S. and America, so I have a mixture of culture. The Jamaican part of it, I got from my grandparents. But to me, I think I identify more Panamanian and American more so with the Jamaican because I did not have what I'm looking for today, that was Stimian background, and seeking it out in order to find out, as they say, my roots. But basically, Panamanian American. Well, I consider myself a Pan-American.
And there's no Pan-America, there's Panama, and
there's American.
America.
Well, half of my life is Panamanian, and over half of my life is American, so I combine the two.
Yeah. Okay. What sorts of things come to mind when someone says West Indian? What are the things that you envision? What are their objects or behaviors or qualities or foods? What are the things that come to mind when you think of that word?
What is?
When you hear the word West Indian, right?
Oh, West Indian.
Yeah, what does that mean to you?
Oh, well, I my parents were
West Indian Jamaican.
No, not now.
They're Jamaican.
They're Jamaican, but
You're talking about that mixture of Jamaicans? Is that what you're trying to
know? No, I am Panamanian. I am Panamanian. Because I was born and raised in Panama.
And did you have any West Indian things, around, cultural things around you that you can think of?
My mother was Jamaican all along, and I don't remember anything now.
What I like about the Jamaican, the West Indian background, they seem to be so well educated. And that I admire a lot about the West Indian. The thing is, they can take one sentence and get so much out of that and build on it that you could get a history out of it. And that's what I love. Like with their food, they can take simple little things and make a meal look like a feast, you know? And I don't know about a lot of their things, but as I've visited different parts of the West Indian countries, I see different things and I kind of just think, wow, what is that? And they say, like, I don't know, little things that, like the fish, the different fish, the way they make it. While with us, you only know one little fish, like, well, I knew the Panamanian fish, the way we used to prepare that, where it's stuffed. In the U.S., all you get is filet. So I don't know anything about stuffed fish. So when I come to Panama or go to the West Indian Islands, I just love to get their fish. It tastes different. It tastes so much better to me than just the filet. And I really enjoy their food and the way that they can just expand with just one little thing and make it just into a big thing. To me, that's education. Because you can take one word and expand and express with that one word and you get so much out of it. And that's what I love.
Okay, perfect. Now, are you married? This would be for Carolyn. Are you married, and how did you meet your husband?
I've been married twice. My first husband was an American. He was servicing here in the Canal Zone. And with that, we had three children, one boy and two girls. My husband died of cancer. And again, I remarried a Scandinavian American. And with that marriage, we didn't have any children together. I had three and he had four. So we called them Brady Bunch. So we enjoyed it. And it was just really, to me, it opened up a lot in my life. Just being an adult and was able to see things differently. It was an interracial marriage, and it was something that, when I experienced it, it opened up a lot in my view as to what humanity is all about. You know, he also died, and I'm here by myself now, but trying to get people to see we don't have color. We just have a character, a person, a human being. And that's part of what I learned in my interracial marriage. You know, we didn't see color. It was just a love for each other. That it was just, it was beautiful. Just great.
Very good. And how have you gotten your kids, how have you brought up your kids with these values that you're telling me about? How do you instill that in them?
With that, even before my marriage to my second husband. My first marriage to me was still a transition because I was from Panama, he was from America. We had two different cultures. So my children now, they were more or less Pan-Americans too. So they had better sides of both sides. And to me, not because they're my children, but because I've heard so many feedbacks from when they were little and from other people that I lived in Mile, because I lived in Mile Americans only. I really didn't have the opportunity to live among my people in America. So I lived among Americans, and they looked at me as though I was someone so different, because they made comments of how my children are not like these other children and stuff like that, and how they were so well behaved. And I had a lady that used to take care of the children when I go shopping or stuff like that. I would never forget that lady. She would not take a penny from me because she said she would give anything to watch my children. They were so well mannered, and the behavior, you know, the behavior pattern was so, you know, you tell them sit and they'll sit, and read a book, tell them to read and they sit and read a book. Well, with other children, you could keep them still for a moment. But it was really, really nice. And the children, my children were more like, I gave them more of my influence. Like, they started reading before they started public school. I would sit down with them the way my parents used to do with us and read to them. And it just came a thing where they just loved reading. We used to have to go in their rooms at nighttime. I said, okay, lights out. And my daughter, I would never forget, she would be reading by the window because I was peeping again in the doorway to see that they're sleeping, to show that they tucked in and what. And I would see her and I said, what are you doing out of your bed? Oh, mommy, I was just finishing the story. And I said, okay, we'll finish it tomorrow. Now they are reading to their children at nighttime, and I'm still in the picture because at nighttime, my little grandson, he still looks for Nana to come and read him the story, and it's like 3 and 4 books that I have to put. They're not long, but still, it's like, can we read just one story and let that do? No, Nana, Mommy always read 3 books. Okay. So it's reading that really got them, and that's the thing that I gave to my children, and they kind of just, you know, they love to hear my stories about Panama and my childhood. So, to me, they have a mixture of the Pan and the American, and that's what I love about it.
Very good. pause this one moment.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I was going up. I'm at peace. And what is the editor needs for anyone? Take care of that occupation to see that we have, instead of, where we have to have the action, we pull from the sociology. Anyway, acting was, we have children. The editor has to take care of that occupation because it's a group that has to be right enough for you to open and cook. You have to cook it, you can't eat it raw. You cook it. And again, so well when somebody gives us an ackee, we gotta eat it. We don't eat it like that. We have to peel off that whatever and cook that ackee.
See, I don't know, because I don't know, that's the reason we're asking this, because I don't know how you cook it, what you peel, I don't know how to prepare it. But yet it's a very nice, delicate.
Well, I'm trying to get this thing, but really, ackee, you have to eat ackee when it's pulled off. You can't take a
drink of
pizza and put it in a bucket.
It'll
poison yourself.
Oh. Okay. So if it's not prepared or taken to be prepared,
it has to be ripe enough. I say ripe. Well, to have a different name. Happy. And we will eat that back. But you have to put it in some hot water and boil it.
Okay.
And then
so that other thing you have it with rice and saltfish?
Yes, saltfish and the ackee. I'm trying to remember now because I'm a long time ago.
But I don't know anything about ackee because you told us about a story that you just cooked ackee for us because someone died when she was young from eating the ackee, and so that stopped her from trying to fix it.
Yarn, well, I eat my ackee.
Yeah, she ate it when she was young.
But I don't trust the children with ackee. I have to feed that ackee myself. I don't cook it. And they will eat. Oh, they love to eat that. She and her brother.
Well, I never had that.
No, you thought you never had
well,
that.
Well, probably, but I don't know anything about that.
You thought you didn't eat that.
Okay.
Well, that's too regular. Well, I cooked it at it, and they better eat it.
Okay.
So I guess they eat, they will eat. And I have two boys. They will eat this house stuff.
They love eating.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. I've heard of ackee and codfish. I ate it. The first time I ate it was probably in Jamaica.
That's
since then, I've had it here also, Adam, in New York.
That's right, New York. You get all the ethnic groups. Yeah. I mean, it's real. That's what I love about New York. You can find any and every kind of ethnic food in New York that you want to find and try. But Jamaica, when they asked me about it and they showed me what it was like, because someone had ordered it. And I saw it and I said, no, I didn't want breakfast. I thought it was eggs. I said, no, I'm here for dinner. And they said, oh, you got the ackee with the rice and the codfish. But we call it codfish, but they call it saltfish. Excuse me, that's how it goes.
Saltfish. Oh,
saltfish. But I tasted when I went to West Palm Beach. My husband and I, and he's Scandinavian, we met this Jamaican lady, and she cooked it and told us to come over and have dinner. And then when she told us what it was, I told her, I'll try it, but, you know, I didn't know anything about it. How is your grandmother from Jamaica? You don't know anything about ackee. So I told her, I said, well, my mother's Panamanian, though. But it was okay, but it's not anything that I could really, I have to kind of acquire taste for that because I'm still thinking of it as more like breakfast instead of dinner.
Yeah, I understand that one. Okay. We're actually almost finished. The next question I have, which I'm going to adapt for your taste, do, oh, I
think I can give you one second. No, she just came.
I see her just coming in. Yeah. I thought she was coming in.
That's the girl that helped me with my
mom. Okay. The next question is, do your children, Caroline, do your children speak both English and Spanish, or are they mainly English as they grew up in the United States?
They're really mainly English. They don't really speak Spanish. For the eldest daughter, she was taking med school. She was in med school at one time, in her first after graduation from college, and she remembered some of the Spanish that she had in high school, and some that she heard me at little times because I didn't speak that much Spanish. And what she did was more or less like try to help the Spanish-speaking patient. And she just said, hola, como esta? And the poor lady started rattling into her. She said, oh, me duele aquí. And she said, no, I don't speak Spanish. But she was more or less trying to make her feel comfortable to let her know, okay, I'll try to understand some of what you're saying. But they really don't speak Spanish. They only took it in high school and college. They're basically all English.
And do all of your siblings, do you have brothers, many brothers and sisters?
Brothers and sisters, they speak Spanish very, very well because they stayed here and finished in Spanish here. The schools are turned over to Spanish back then. And I left before that came about. So they graduated out of Parisa High School, where it was all Spanish at the time. So, but with me, I basically had all English.
Now, this question is for both of you, Ms. Wilhelmina. Do you have any message you would like to send to the youth? You know, a message just in general to youth?
The youth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For the younger generation.
You want a message to the youth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something that you would like them to remember of your coming up, what would you like to see?
I don't know. My parents were supposed to die times, I don't remember very
much. Well, for me, I tell you truthfully, I really admire the youth here in Panama. What I would like to see, I would like to see both Spanish and West Indian background be a multi-type nation, because the world today, we don't have just one language. We have to speak so many different languages. That's why I minored in language. I majored in psychology. But to me, for you to understand people, you have to be able to communicate. And for the youth here, or the people in general, they need to be a multi-type. It doesn't even have to be just Spanish-English. It can be French, can be Italian. Just something so that you can communicate with others, because if you can't expand yourself with other people in other countries, then you're cut off from the world. And that's the way I look at it. So I would like to see the youth today kind of grasp and go forward with it, and try to think of other people in other countries and not only ourselves. Try to think of how can I help them, how can they help me, and we can get together and communicate.
Okay.
See, like that's an example. Care is a helper for me.
Yeah.
And she helps me, but she speaks only Spanish. But she is of a West Indian background.
Sí, sí. Yo, ella, ya aprendió bastante.
Pero por lo menos ya yo me radico en la conversación, en palabras, ya yo me voy, you know, pero me falta a mí cómo practicarlo, hablarlo. Pero ya en una conversación matemática, ya yo
And in order to communicate, we have to understand. That goes back to the Bible. Yeah. When we all were talking different languages and different towns and like Babylon, and it's like, so it all goes all the way back. Back, way, way back in the Bible. So it's more or less communication. If we lack communication, we can't get anywhere.
Yeah.
So I would like to see the kids of today. Children, the youth, because they will be teaching others when they get to our age and older, they're the ones that will be the ones to take it on. So I would like for them to just do that.
Thank you. And now it's just demographics. Can I guess the year of birth for both of you?
Okay, she knows her year of birth.
What is your year of birth?
What are you born?
I was born.
Yes, well, come
on. Wow. Wow.
What
was
she born?
What
was she born?
What
was she born?
What
was she born?
What
was she born? What was she
born?
What was she born? What was she born? What was she born? What was she born? What was she born?
What was she born? What was she born?
I was born August 28, 1940.
Okay.
Way behind you. That's why you taught me. And I'm teaching my children and they're teaching their children. Oh, my granddaughter. Well, she just loves to speak Spanish. She's 11 years old and she just she wants to speak Spanish so bad that she would call me on the phone, Nina, speak to me in Spanish, say something in Spanish. It's like, and she's just really thrilled. Now my grandson, her brother, he's taking Spanish too, but he's not all that enthused. It's like, it seems like another hard work for him to try to learn something. But he's at that age, he's like 15. He's at that age, he's looking at it as a study. He's not looking at it as something, you know, intriguing or exciting. So the grandchildren, they're really looking forward to coming to Panama, learning about their grandmother's background, but they don't really have too much of their great-grandmother's background or her great-great, because my mother's background is Panamanian too. So they're not thinking of the West Indian part of it, but this is what we're trying to teach them now too, that we came back from the West Indian culture. So all they're hearing is that grandma, the great-grandma is from Panama, but they don't know of their great-great. And that's one of the things we're interjecting in the children now.
Okay, that's good. Excellent. What is the last grade of school that each of you completed? The level of education. What's the last grade? What's the last grade you completed in school? What grade did you
do? I went to the end of the sixth grade.
What's the end of the sixth?
How
far did they go back then? Was that the fifth grade? Eighth grade?
No, I went into my, I don't remember.
Because back in your days, I think you told me they only went to like
fifth grade. No, I went over
there.
Oh, there's stuff at that one there because government. But we, when I went to school, I went right on over. All right. No, no, well, what was it? I guess you tell you, don't remember.
No, because I think, because I've been trying to go back at that, because I think with La Boca school, they only went up to eighth grade. Yeah,
they went all the way out.
Yeah,
12.
I don't know if they went to
12. No, when you were
when
there.
I was there, they went to 12. But with you, I think they only went to 8.
No, ma'am.
Okay, well, maybe they went further.
No, sir, sure, because they changed the age.
And the women.
Everybody. When you reach 12th grade, you are in 12th grade.
You graduate. Okay.
I understand.
Okay.
But I don't remember no. Sorry. No, me. years I got.
I had my Bachelor of Arts in Chicago. And after that, I went into nursing and graduated from the Cook County School of Nursing in Chicago.
Okay. So your profession at the moment would be?
Right now I'm retired.
Uh-huh, retired
I'm nurse. Retired. But I left the nursing and went into the airlines field. I was with the airlines for 25 years. And really did very good with the airlines there because I started out at the bottom as a reservationist and moved myself all the way up to supervisor. So it kind of gave me that, what would you say, I felt good about it because I've learned from way back when I was little, like with my father and my teachers, like I said, with teaching, you must keep going, going, going. My mother always said, keep going, and my father drilled in us the importance of education. So with that, I kind of just, whatever position was available, I put in for it, I would get it, and another one opened, I put in for it, and I just kept going until I just got as far as I could get. You know, that's what I like about that. That was another thing I liked about the U.S. If you put yourself and your mind into what you want to do or what you want to get out of life, you can do it. But sometimes we do have things that kind of keep you back, like a family or stuff like that. But still, if you want to find a way, you will find a way.
So before you moved to Panama now back, where were you living in the States? So I guess you still have a home in the States?
Yeah, I reside in two states right now. Still in Miami and also Springfield, Virginia. And I'm here in Panama, San Francisco. So I just wanted to see some of the different areas.
Yes, I was going to ask. Well, how many months of the year do you spend in the different places?
I want to be able to stay away from the north in the wintertime and go to Miami. Miami is my, like, what would you say, intermediate point, because Miami and Panama have similarities. They're about basically the same. But Panama is like, you just say you're going away from the United States, you get to Panama. If I want to still be in the States and get away from the winter, I can go to Miami. So it's just wherever I feel I want to be at the time, that's where I want to be at.
Okay.
I want to feel that freedom.
Yeah. Okay. Is there any other information you'd like to add? We're pretty much all done. Is there anything else that you'd like to add that we have not yet said? Romina or Caroline, any other things you'd like to add?
I'm so old, I forget everything.
No, my request,
but she remembered her Spanish. For years, my mom had been away. And when she came here, it's like all of a sudden, because the fact that Flo doesn't speak the English, she was forced now to go back.
And she was just
going right into her Spanish. I'm saying, like, but it's nice, and I'm so glad. That's what makes me feel the urge to let the children here know. Because here it is, a lady 91 years old has been away for so long, and she can come back and still relate to her people. So you have to be able to communicate.
Yes.
Just because you know you're born here doesn't mean you just speak Spanish.
El primer día no hablamos, quizás, pero ya después, no vas a conversar en nada. Ay, yo la voy a extrañar a morir. Yo la voy a extrañar muchísimo.
Because this is her last day here.
Ah, okay.
She really took care of her.
Love you, Nicolania.
She gave her a lot of love, a lot of caring and everything. I really felt so good for that. That was good. My purpose on this trip was to bring my mother back home. This would probably be her last visit back home. And I just wanted her to see some of her friends that I found out were still living and still. They're very active. Very active. Like I told you, you got to talk to Mrs. Marshall and Mrs. Campbell. Those are two people that Mrs. Campbell is 97, Mrs. Marshall is 92. Their mentality is just like, wow, I cannot believe it was great. I said, wow, they really have a lot to offer to the generations of today and those to come. Because I learned a lot from Mrs. Marshall. That was why she was at my Thanksgiving dinner also. The people that I really thought of throughout my life, that at times I'll be sleeping or laying down and I thought of, I wonder what she's doing now, I wonder where she's at, stuff like that. When I came back and found that they were still here, I had to give thanks. This was my first Thanksgiving away from the U.S. And I felt so good to be able to get the people that made part of what I am, that put together with all the little teachings here and there, and sewing, crochet, whatever it might be, language. You know, Mr. Fogger was the first person, the first teacher, not the first person, the first teacher that taught. I can see her on the blackboard, perro, dog, gato, cat. You know, that was the first initial schooling that I had in the school for Spanish. And it just stuck in my mind. I always pictured her. So I was glad, I was so elated just to see her and just feel her presence. You know, Mrs. Marshall, Mrs. Campbell, all of them, these are people that helped build the character in me. You know, and I think people need to sit back and take the things that you were given in life. Find out where it came from. You don't have to find out, but it would kind of snap in your mind. And give thanks. Give thanks for that person or that someone that just helped you to get where you're at today. You know, it's really nice. I really feel great about myself. And my children, I'm proud of them, and they're proud of their mom, too. So it kind of gives what would you say, a back and forth thing. I give, you give, I give, I take. And it's just not just me. You know, it's we in general can do it. That's why I don't mean to be political, but we do need a change. And change has got to come about because we're all one. We're all one. I don't care what color, what degree of education we have. You've got the youngest has a lot to teach us. We learn from the babies. They got a lot to teach us by just looking at them, seeing how they react and stuff like that. And we can just guide them and just give them the tools that they need in order to formulate, like my teachers and the community did for me. You know, that's what we need. We need people to be supportive of a cause and just stick together, unite and stick together.
Great. Well, thank you again very much,
both of you,
for spending this time with us. And I assure you, everything that you have told us, we'll be using to spread the word, to make all of us be more informed, young and old, about our lives, our histories, the things we value, the things that are important to us, so that they don't get lost.
Thank you.
All righty. Okay.
Yeah.